Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here we study the Bible every morning, and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. I thank God by His grace we've done 20 books of the Bible. And if you've not been able to listen to the books that we've covered, that is straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, that's Bible In-Depth Network. And also, you can be able to find them on all podcast channels. That's Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, name it. Up podcasts, you find all the episodes we've done, about 320 episodes that we've done so far, from the book of Genesis to where we are right now, which is the book of Ecclesiastes. And I thank the Lord who enables us. We do this by His grace. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not because we are the best that are there. No, it is by the grace of the Lord. And the Lord comes out for us and shows us His mercies, which are new every morning. And every day that I come to you, it is by the grace of the Lord. And I thank you for His taking time to listen in. We started on the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want us to continue today. We've done 5 chapters so far, and today we'll continue with chapter 6 of Ecclesiastes. It starts by saying, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it weighs heavily on men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires. Yet God has not given him the power or capacity to enjoy them, all those things which are gifts from God. But a stranger in whom he has no interest succeeds and enjoys them." Solomon is saying here, there's something he has seen. Somebody works hard, people work hard, make lots of money, make lots of wealth, but they don't get the pleasure from them. Even when they try to enjoy what they've worked for, there's nothing that comes in. There's no desire to get it and enjoy it, because the ability to enjoy that which you've worked for comes from the Lord. The ability for you to enjoy that money you're making comes from the Lord. You can make money and not enjoy it. You can make wealth and not enjoy it. That enjoyment of the things, of the works of our hands, comes from the Lord. And he's saying here, there is something he has seen and noticed, that it doesn't happen. What actually happens is strangers come and enjoy it. Strangers come and have fun out of the wealth that the other person made. Even people that he does not know, even people that do not even know him, they just come up and take that wealth and enjoy it. And he says this is vanity, and it is a cause of great distress. I've worked so hard, but I've not enjoyed from the toil. I've not enjoyed from the works of my hands. Says it is vanity, and it causes distress. It is meaningless. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they may be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he is not respected, and is not given a proper burial, he is not laid to rest in his sepulchre of his fathers, then I say, better the miscarriage than he, for the miscarriage comes in futility, that is in vain, and passes into obscurity, and its name is covered in obscurity. Yeah? It has not seen the sun, nor had any knowledge, yet it has more rest and is better off than he. Even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice over, and yet has seen no good and experienced no enjoyment, both do not go to the place. Yeah. Now, he's saying it's important for you to have even a decent burial. That was a big issue in their culture. And remember when we were doing some earlier books, we looked at the fact that you had cases of people who were not being buried. And not being buried was already a problem because they found it as demeaning. Yeah, for you to get the opportunity to be buried was important. And he's saying, even if this man has 100 children but does not get buried, then it's nothing to him. Yeah, all the labor of man is for his mouth. And yet the desire of the soul is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? Yeah. What advantage has the poor man who has learned how to walk among the living? With men's eyes on him for being poor is not the secret to happiness either. What the eyes see is better than what the soul desires. This too is futility and chasing after the wind. Whatever exists has already been named. We looked at this earlier. Whatever exists has already been named long ago. And it is known what a frail being man is, for he cannot dispute with him who is mightier than he. You cannot dispute with God. And all these things that are on earth have been there before. And there have been people who have disputed with him and they did not win. You cannot come out to fight God. You cannot come out to speak wrong about God. You cannot come out to argue aimlessly with God because he's mightier than you. For there are many other words that increase futility. What then is the advantage for a man? For who, limited by human wisdom, knows what is good for man during his lifetime, during the few days of his futile life? He spends them like a shadow, staying busy, but achieving nothing of lasting value. For who can tell a man what will happen after him? Who can be there and tell you what will happen after your work, after your treasures, after your plans under the sun? After his life is over, nobody can come out to tell you what is going to happen. Because it is God who knows, by the way. And even when we worry so much about what is coming in the future, we have no control over it. We do not have control over that which is coming. We need to be putting it in the hands of God, placing it in the hands of God and saying, Lord, take care of my future. Take care of the things that are ahead. I don't do it in my own power and might. I cannot handle it. I will trust in the Lord. Chapter 7, a good name is better than precious perfume. We looked at this earlier. That your name is important. Your name is better than riches. Your name is better than expensive perfume. Your name is better than wealth. Wealth may give you a name, but your name is greater than that wealth. That's why it's key how you make the wealth, because if it comes from dubious activity, if it comes from prostitution, if it comes from all those traffickings and what, and you get wealth out of that, that is how your name will be known. And it will not be good, because it will be in the record of evil. But it says your name is better. A good name is better than riches. I will keep my name. Even if there are no riches, I will keep my name, even if there is no wealth. That is what is key here. And the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth. Of course, you've lived a full life. Yeah, it's exciting. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that day of death is the end of every man. And the living will take it to heart and solemnly ponder its meaning. Sorrow is better than laughter. He's giving here some words that we may not even want to hear. For when a face is sad, the heart may be happy because it is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is senseless in the house of pleasure. It's better to listen and to rebuke, to listen to the rebuke of the wise man and pursue wisdom, than for one to listen to the song of fools and pursue stupidity. He also said this in the book of Proverbs while we're learning it, that it's good for you to listen to the wise, not to the fools. Yeah. For like the cracking of burning thorn bushes and thy pot, so is the laughter of a fool. This too is vanity. It's meaningless. It's futile. For oppression makes a wise man foolish, and a bribe corrupts the good judgment of the heart. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. How things end. Yeah? You know, we have sometimes terrible endings. But how things end is important. We start things, we start projects, we start ministries. The end is important. You would have started well, but end badly. And that is the problem. But the end is key. How you finish is key. How you finish is important. Your end is crucial. Yeah. Even in your business, you would have started it well, but the end is crucial. How is it moving now? Yeah. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. I'm talking about pride here. Of course, pride is always a problem, and patience comes out better. That's what we need, patience in our lives. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger dwells in the heart of fools. Do not say, why are the old days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about these. Sometimes we look at the past and love it. We look at the past and long for it. We look at the past and say, I wish it was like it used to be before. I wish I could go back to the old days. I wish I could go back in my old life. But they are saying, it is fools who do that. It is not out of wisdom that you do that. Yeah? You do that in ignorance. The future is always brighter. The future is always better. The future always has hope. The future speaks of good things. The things that have happened in your life before shall not determine your future. The problems that you've got in your life before shall not determine your future. The troubles that you've faced before shall not determine your future. God has a good plan for your life. God has a good plan for your life. And that plan is filled with joy. It's filled with good things, with prosperity. It is filled with love and kindness. If you've been neglected before, rejected before, and those who loved you left you, does not mean that nobody loves you still. God can bring somebody into your life that can change it. Somebody who can love you for who you are. Somebody who can love you with all the things that you have, with all the troubles that you seemingly have. Somebody can come and love you and treat you like their own. Yeah? So do not dwell on the old days and say, what I'm going through now is terrible. I wish I can go back to the old days. We don't have assurance of what is in those old days. Those old days can be filled with pain as well. You don't go back from where you've come from. You move forward. Wisdom along with an inheritance is good and an excellent advantage for those who see the sun. For wisdom is a protection even as money is a protection. But the excellent advantage of knowledge is that wisdom shields and preserves the lives of its possessors. Yeah? And we've looked at that when you're wise, you are in a sharper state, better state. Yeah? You know, having wisdom can take you through scenarios, through days that are terrible, through seasons that are unbelievable. Wisdom, and the wisdom comes from the Lord. Consider the work of God, who can make straight what he has bent. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider that God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not find out anything that will be after him. What an interesting statement. God has made the day of prosperity. It is also God that has made the day of adversity. And it's also the same God that created you and me. And it's also the same God who says he has a good plan for you. It's also the same God who says he loves you. But he has created both days. He's the owner of both days. He knows how to take you through that day of joy in prosperity. He also knows how to take you through that day of adversity, to encourage you, to comfort you, to lift you up, to tell you you will not fail. You are a winner. You're victorious. It is the same God. It is the same God who knows the day of prosperity. It is the same God who knows the day of adversity. And it's the same God who has the strategy to take you through. God has made the one as well as the other. Yeah? I have seen everything during my days of futility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man who lives long life in his wickedness. Solomon is saying here, I've seen it all. I've seen people who've been righteous, who've done good, who've followed the Lord, who've ministered, who've been the best that they can be. And I have also seen wicked of wicked. But I've seen the wicked live longer than the righteous. It happens. And it is God in charge of all of them. God determines what will happen. So sometimes you don't have to be and say, how come the wicked are prospering? How come the wicked are living long? Leave it to the Lord. Yeah? Do not be excessively righteous like those given to self-conceit, and do not be overly wise, pretentious. Why should you bring yourself to ruin? He's talking about here excessive righteousness. And this is a verse we read often and start to compare. Don't be too righteous. Don't be too spiritual. Some versions say don't be too spiritual. But here he says, do not be excessively righteous. This is given to self-conceit. That is the attachment to this righteousness they're talking about. Yeah, you feel that you are the most righteous of all. Everybody else is a sinner but you. Yeah? You judge people for what they've done. You tell people, when you do this, you follow everything to the letter. Yet, there's that self-conceit, there's that self-pride, there's that bit in you that feels for you. You are doing things in your power and might. And it's not by the grace of God that you live or that you have that righteousness upon your life. People such as this, who claim to be excessively righteous, always get huge falls. And somebody falls and you say, how did this happen? We thought this was the strongest person, even here in church. They pray the most. They sing the loudest. They do everything. Yeah? Seemingly to be in shape, excessively righteous, but with self-conceit, and that brings them down. We don't do things in our power. Yeah, you come out, judge everybody, judge everyone who has done and made a mistake in their life and claim that they do not know where they are going. And for you, you take yourself in a high position, excessive righteousness. Be careful. Yeah, be careful, because you can bring yourself to ruin. We are all under the same grace of God. And we all seek the same favor from God. We all seek God to help us live lives that are holy and righteous. There is nobody who should come out and claim to be higher in righteousness than another. No. Work on your life as your neighbor works on their life. And let us all know that it is by the grace of God that we stand. Yeah? Do not be excessively or willfully wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? Of course, with wickedness comes death. It is good that you take hold of one thing, righteousness, and also not let go of the other, which is wisdom. For the one who fears and worships God will come forth with both of them. Fear the Lord, worship the Lord, and you'll have righteousness and wisdom with you. That's what he's trying to say here. Wisdom strengthens the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who does. There is not a righteous man on earth who always does good and who never sins. This is what I've been talking about. Everybody falls. Even the preacher sins. Even the prophet sins. Even the cardinal sins, even the bishop. There is nobody. Everybody falls at one point. And it is the grace of God that holds us together. It is just the mercy of God that helps us. Everybody falls. Also, do not take seriously everything that is said, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you, for you always know that you too have cursed others many times. You know, sometimes we go through things and we wail so much, yet we've also done it to others before. It's sometimes you like we said, you reap that which you sow. I have tested all this with wisdom. I said, I'll be wise. And by wise, he meant independently of God. I don't need God in my life. But true wisdom was far from me. Whatever has been is far off, deeply remote and exceedingly mysterious. Who can discover it? For it is beyond the grasp of man. I turned around and directed my heart to know, to investigate and to seek wisdom and the reason for things, and to know that wickedness is folly and that foolishness is madness. And I discovered that of all irrational sins, none has been so destructive in the beguiling one away from God as immoral women. For more bitter than death is the woman whose heart is composed of snares and nets and whose hands are chains. Whoever pleases God will escape from her, but the sinner will be taken captive by her. They're talking about the immoral woman again. It is by the grace of God that you can stand. Yeah? And if you please God, your chances are higher. If you're a man who follows after righteousness, your chances are higher to survive that seductress, to survive that immoral woman, that woman who can lead you astray, that prostitute. Yeah? And we know of the fact that many men fall because of women, because of the seductress, those that come with all the temptations in the world waiting for them to be brought down. Behold, I have discovered this, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking, but have not found. I have found one man among a thousand who pleases God, but I have not found such a woman among all these 1,000 in my harem. Solomon is talking about his wives, his group of harem, his women. He had 1,000, by the way. We learned that. Behold, I have found only this as a reason. God made man upright and uncorrupted. But they, both men and women, have sought out many devices for evil. He's saying God created us upright. God created us in order. God created us as people who are in check, in line. But along the way, we fell and started to do things in our own way. And he's saying, for him, as far as he knows that man goes astray on his own. Man makes the decision to go astray on his own. You make that decision. Do not blame anybody for the decisions you make, because it is always in your hands. You choose what to do. You choose how to act. And it is always in your hands. Yeah, you don't blame anyone for it. I'll close with the chapter 8. Who is like the wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines his face and causes his stern face to beam. Yeah, when you're wise, is that better part of you. Even on the face they see and they know that this is a wise man. You're happy. I counsel you to keep the command of the king because of the oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to get out of his presence. Do not join in the malevolent matter. For the king, will do whatever he pleases. For the word of a king is authoritative and powerful, and who will say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps and observes a royal command will experience neither trouble nor misery. For a wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. Here they're talking about wisdom as you're dealing with a leader, or is with a ruler, or with a king. For there's a proper time and procedure for every delight. Though mankind's misery and trouble lies heavily upon him. For one for no one knows what will happen. So who can tell him how and when it will happen? There is no man who has power and authority over the wind to restrain the wind, nor does he have authority over the day of death. Nobody has authority over that. If it has come, it has come. There is no discharge from service during the time of war, and evil will not rescue those who actively seek to practice it. As this I have seen while applying my mind to every deed that is done under the sun, there is a time in which one man has exercised power over others to their detriment. He's saying, he's observed it. There are times when people exercise authority over others to their torture. If God has given you authority, don't treat others badly. Don't treat others like they don't exist. Give them some good treatment, yeah? Verse 10, so then I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out of the holy place, but did not thereby escape their doom. And they are praised in spite of their evil and soon forgotten in the city where they did such things. This too is vanity. It's emptiness. Even when you torture people, treat people in all the way that is terrible, a day will come and you'll go and you'll be forgotten. That's what it implies here. Because the sentence against an evil act is not executed quickly. The hearts of the sons of men are fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his life is prolonged, still I know that it will be well with those who fear God and who fear and worship him openly. That's what we've been talking about earlier. That you look at the wicked and you say, how come the wicked are living long? He comes out and says, they may live long, but the sentence for those who have been wicked is not good. Yeah? A sinner may do evil long and even live long, but still it is well with the one who fears the Lord. Even if the one who fears the Lord does not live long, it is still well with them. What is waiting for them in eternity is something that is worth waiting for. But it will not be well for the evil man, nor will he lengthen his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. There is a meaningless and futile thing which is done on the earth. That is, there are righteous men whose gain is as though they were evil, and evil men whose gain as though they were righteous. I say this too is meaningless. He's saying, they are righteous men whose gain is as though they were evil. The things they have gained appears like they've all been doing negative things and made wealth out of negativity, yet they've been righteous. And then there are also evil men whose gain is as though they've been righteous. Yeah, that's the pretense that we see. When I appear righteous, but the things I do to gain wealth are terrible. The schemes I play to gain wealth are terrible, but all that is meaningless. Then I commended pleasure and enjoyment, because a man without God has no better thing under the sun.